Hello, everybody. Welcome to Primecast. I'm your host, Emmanuel Class. I work in game development, marketing, playtesting, and a number of other things for Privateer Press. And I'm excited to roll out the inaugural episode of our audio podcast hosted on privateerpress.com. Please excuse some of the audio quality differences from guest host to guest host and that we're recording remotely these days. But we are still excited to bring you new content and give you the opportunity to peek behind the scenes for Privateer Press. And with that, roll the drums. We are beyond hyped today. This is our inaugural episode, newly restarted for Privateer Press, and we plan to do a new audio episode each month. We're going to bring a mix of staff and community members on to discuss what's going on in the privateer world. Our first guest is none other than Matt Wilson, the CCO for Privateer Press, which I believe stands for Chaos Coordinating Officer.
Thanks, Emmanuel. Chaos, definitely. But for those who don't know my voice, I'm Matt Wilson, and my actual title at Privateer Press is Chief Creative Officer, though in reality, I'm involved in just about everything we do, whether it's creative or not. It's super exciting to have Primecast back in action. We've really missed having it as one of our primary tools to keep our community informed about what's going on inside of Privateer, so this is great.
I am so excited. We're going to have this as a resource for the community to absorb what's going on for Privateer Press, as well as get a chance to bring on community members and dig into what's going on across the globe. I also think it's important for everyone to hear things directly from us, right? It's easy for rumors to circulate and then get greatly exaggerated by social media. Primecast will let us address some of those things head on.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got so many great things to share. We've been running full steam ahead, and there are a ton of exciting things on the horizon. Between Warcaster, Monsterpocalypse, Riot Quest, War Machine, Hordes, and the IK RPG that is finally getting into the hands of our amazing backers, 2022 is going to be a big year.
You're giving me goosebumps just thinking about it. Primecast will be our vehicle for much of this news as well, so don't miss an episode as we release these.
We've got more than just audio for Primecast 2. You're going to be hosting Primecast Plus as well. I know everybody's going to groan at another plus, but it just fits for what we're doing. And at least it's not a subscription service.
That's right. It's not going to be a subscription service, which we just like the plus. We're going to be kicking off Primecast Plus on our YouTube channel. We're going to be aiming for new videos at least once a month. We're going to start doing our own unboxing videos, which is pretty awesome. I'm going to get to take the product right out and show it to everybody piece by piece. There will be a mix of videos, news segments, and reviews coming up every release. So keep your eyes glued for Primecast Plus.
And among those things that we're excited to show off is something we've been teasing for months.
Orgoth.
So we know War Machine and Hordes players are looking forward to seeing something new after quite a while. And I'll say we've been taking our sweet time with this new army, but it's going to be worth the wait. We just really wanted to make sure that the first time everybody sees the Orgoth after their 400-year hiatus, that we give them a proper introduction. So for the past few months, we've been working with the incredible miniature painter, Eric Swinson. Everybody's seen his work. It's fabulous. And he is making the Orgoth look spectacular. It's really, I think it's one of the most amazing armies that we've ever created. And Eric is making them gorgeous. And right now he's putting the final touches on the last few minis. And it looks like we'll be showing them off for the first time on the inaugural episode of Primecast Plus later this month.
Awesome. I love Eric Swinson. He's fantastic. Everything he touches is beautiful. And it's going to be epic to be able to show Orgoth on our inaugural Primecast Plus. Everybody's going to get to both see what Primecast Plus is about and see what Orgoth looks like all in one go.
Yeah, and for anyone attending Adepticon at the end of the month, you'll be able to check them out up close and personal.
Awesome. Any other big news coming up?
Yeah, let's see. We're working on the next expansion for the Iron Kingdoms RPG, where we're going to be doing a thorough exploration of Krix for the first time. So there'll be more coming on that over the next few months. Of course, we've just announced the next Kickstarter project, the Riot Quest board game, where we're going to be making a proper big box board game packed with minis so that you can play a full game of four people right out of the box.
That is amazing. And the Pests expansion.
Yes, the Pests expansion. Definitely the cutest thing that Privateer Press has ever made.
You know what rhymes with Pests expansion? Best expansion.
Best. The very best. Let's see. And what else? Of course, we've got the Warcaster 1000 Worlds Kickstarter rewards that are going to be shipping really soon. I cannot wait for those new cadres and the 1000 Worlds book to get into people's hands. We've just got lots of Kickstarter fulfillment coming up in 2022. I know you've got Charles Foster on later, though, and I don't want to steal his thunder. So everyone, just stay tuned to Primecast and Primecast Plus, because this is where you're going to find out first all the great stuff we've got coming this year.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate you coming on to Primecast. This is our very first inaugural episode, and we couldn't have done it without you at the helm.
Thank you.
Now we're going to roll on to our next segment with Charles Foster talking about Kickstarter fulfillment. I am happy to welcome my next guest onto the show, Charles Foster III. We got to hang out at LVO, and it was an absolute blast. Charles is fun, and he's here today to discuss Kickstarter fulfillment with us. Charles, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, Emmanuel. I'm super happy to be here on the inaugural show for the new Primecast and talking Kickstarters with you.
Awesome. It's really exciting to have you here. Primecast 1, right? But I don't want to take up any time or your shine. So fill me in on fulfillments. There's a lot coming down the pipe this year.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on right now. So the big thing is we're trying to get out of the backup that basically happened during COVID. So we're still pushing out Requiem. We just finished off Chili Con Carnage. And as soon as we get Requiem finished up, which as we're recording this, all of Requiem should be going out to the backers, all of their add-ons, everything should be going out worldwide. Everybody should have their stuff, hopefully, before this even goes up on our website. After that, we're going to move into Warcaster 1000 Worlds. Once we get that wrapped up, we'll move over into Borderlands and Beyond when it's all ready to go out. Something that's really exciting, the Borderlands and Beyond project has a set of 6 miniatures that are going inside with some of the backers as an add-on or some of the Kickstarter levels. We used a new plastic process on that, and I am so excited to see how people react to those new miniatures.
And then once snap?
Yeah. And then, of course, once we get all of that out into the backers' hands, we should hopefully around that time hear back from Mythic on our collaboration on the big box set for Mompok and find out when that's going to go ahead out to backers. And, of course, 2022 is going to be an exciting year. We've got some pretty neat things coming down, and I'm really excited. I wish I could talk to you a little bit more about them, but I don't want to steal Matt's thunder, so I'm going to let him surprise everybody with those.
Absolutely. So much exciting stuff coming down. I'm really, really excited for that Mompok fulfillment. And my ears perked up. You said plastic minis, Requiem.
Yeah.
You have my full attention. So
yeah,
I'm super excited for that.
I can't go into the specifics of what exactly that is, but we are doing a very new process for us. And the quality looks amazing. I am so stoked because this is something we're definitely going to be moving forward with on other things we're working on.
So what should a customer do if they receive some damaged product from Kickstarter? Is there some process of putting in a missing part request or something with the PP front desk?
Yeah, absolutely. You can always go to the front desk at privateerpress.com and submit a ticket or go through the missing parts portal. Those typically we try and save for replacement parts or if something got mispacked. But if you want to get it a little bit quicker or you want to get a faster response, or just make sure somebody's on the other end emailing you back, the best way to do it is to actually just message us directly through Kickstarter. The reason for that is when you message me directly through Kickstarter, it's going to be either me or Matt typically that sees it. And when we do, we have everybody's information there. So when it pulls it up, I know that it was Tim from Florida, and I have all of your Kickstarter information right there. So I can immediately put your address into a shipping label, get everything out to the warehouse, and have replacements to you either by next day or even in some cases the same day. We can get them in the mail. So that's the quickest way. The worst case scenario, if you're ever unsure or you're not really comfortable, you're like, hey, this might be an issue, it might not be, I'm not really sure, you can always email me too, charles@privateerpress.com. I'm always happy to strike up a conversation and find out what you need and basically take care of it if I can.
So what you're saying is listeners should go to your house and stand on your front porch and demand product from you.
Absolutely not. You should come into my house and play Riot Quest with me is what you should do.
I like that. I like that much better. Charles is a lot of fun to play Riot Quest with.
Yeah, so, or War Machine, or Mompok, or Warcaster. You should definitely come over and play games with me.
It's true. At LVO, he had the whole setup. It was like, which game do you want to play?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want listeners to know while we got you on? Just any parting shots you want to say?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. First and foremost, I just want to say I'm happy to be back at Privateer and the team. I came back to the company here this past year in October. It feels like I've only been here for a few days, but it's already been a few months, so it's insane. And at the same time, walking through the doors, it felt like I never left. Like, everything is going in such a great way. People are still super helpful. The teams are really excited about the products we're working on, and I can't wait to share, like, with everybody the cool stuff we've been doing already. Like, 2022 is going to be a great year for us. Really, I've just missed working in games and essentially interacting with the community. I'm so excited. We've got Adepticon coming up in just a few weeks. War Machine, Hordes, Ryquest, everything. Monpok, everything's got cool stuff coming, and I can't wait for everybody to see what we're working on. As for me personally, I'm still huge into hobbying and gaming. If you're out there and you enjoy painted stuff, I'm nowhere near a studio painter for sure, but earlier this year I decided to take it upon myself to paint the entire line of RideQuest miniatures and alternate paint schemes. I write up an article each week to show how I paint each model, and they go up on the website. They pretty much hit every week, with the exception of a miss here or there due to some time constraints, travel, conventions, and so forth. We've done a Black Dragon bulkhead, we've done wood grain Leadfoot and treads, we've done a Golden Compass themed Bumbles, we've done a whole bunch of different models, and my goal is hopefully before the end of the year I will have made it through all of the RideQuest miniatures that we have out right now. In fact, on my painting desk right now, I'm working on a few of the Forsaken, which I'm trying to paint up like Arthas from Wrath of the Lich King in World of Warcraft. I'm excited to see how that comes out.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was, I was sitting around one day playing some retro video games with the wife. I looked up and I saw the last level is this massive scrolling tank stage where all the tanks are wood. And I was like, I can paint Leadfoot and treads like that. Let's do it. And it was pretty fun. So that article is definitely out there. People should check it out. And then if you're at a convention and you see me, I try and have all those models with me, especially the cool-looking ones, at least that I think so. And you can feel free to come up, check them out.
I think that's great. RideQuest is hilariously fun, and I've seen your collection, too. It's absolutely beautiful. And the alternate schemes, like, it's really cool to see things that you really expect in ways you don't expect it. And so you do a great job of that.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's been fun kind of like really diving into the hobby. LVO was the first time I'd seen all of the miniatures in the RideQuest line in one place, sitting there hanging on the wall. We had everything with us, and I looked up and went, oh, I agreed to paint that this year. Okay, let's do it.
I'm there with you. I painted everything up to date for the Monpok line, and then I recently got my box of everything that's come out in the last couple months, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I have like half a dozen monsters and 2 dozen units to paint to catch up. What am I doing? But it's always so satisfying in the end.
Yeah. No, I think there's that proud feeling when you're sitting on the painting table and you look over at the nice pile of miniatures you have there, and you're like, oh, I did that. It looks good.
Absolutely. And you know, listeners, if you paint something, whether it's, you know, your best paint job ever, or you just want to share it with the world, tweet it to Privateer Press, share it and tag us, hit us with the hashtag Privateer Press, hit us with those hashtags like RideQuest or War Machine. We love to share those community models, and we want to be able to spotlight some of the cool projects going on. So let us know what you got on your painting table, and we'd be happy to share it.
Yeah, absolutely. I get so excited seeing what some of our community members come up with. There are some insanely talented painters out there. Just yesterday, I was looking through some of the Facebook groups, and somebody had painted up a Karchev Deathjack from Riot Quest, Chilica Carnage, in this like beautiful, like tealish green color. He had hand stenciled on like skulls and stuff all over the shoulders. It looked so cool. I was like, I'm so jealous because I can't do that. And that dude's stuff looks so good. I was just so jealous.
Absolutely. And one of the things we're going to do with Primecast moving forward in the future is we are going to bring on some community members and let them also talk about their projects here on Primecast. We're going to talk about their community contributions, what they've got going on as far as tournaments and events. And yes, we're absolutely going to have some hobby segments when we bring on some of those hobby specialists from the community, and they can tell us about all the cool work they're doing.
I am so excited to see what people are up to and learn new stuff.
Privateer Press and our community are one and the same, and so we definitely want to bring in the community here into Primecast so that everybody else can have the opportunity to see the cool things that we get to see every day.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having this time with us, Charles. It's been an absolute blast talking to you again. I'm sure we'll have you back.
Yeah. Hey, thanks again for having me today. Looking forward to seeing everybody at Adepticon or another convention very soon. Come chat it up.
And on to the next segment. Welcome back, listeners. In this last segment, I would like to extend a warm welcome to my friend, John Swinkles.
Oh, hello.
John and I got to hang out at our LVO convention recently. We worked the PP booth and did some demos together, and I have to say, John is one of the wittiest people I have had the pleasure of hanging out with. He is quite hilarious. So, man of mystery, can you tell me and the audience what you do for PP?
Well, it's basically making sure all the people and stuff get to a show, as well as planning what people and stuff is going to a show, working with Travis, yourself, and others to figure out what kind of events are happening at a show so that people are engaged and having fun, and then just making sure that there's, you know, people from the crew to interact with and hang out and basically more or less have a good time and hang out with the community, because that's the whole reason we go. Like, we sit in our offices, you know, whether they're at home or in the office, for so long, and pretty much just get to interact with people on the internet. Getting to see people in person, get some games in, and just generally hang out is it massively recharges my batteries. So I look forward to every single time.
Absolutely. I came away from LVO just super pumped up, did a ton of demos, got to meet a ton of people, and the community always just, they give you that feel good, right? They always give me all the things that, like you said, recharge your batteries. Speaking of conventions, let's talk about the convention coming up next. It's Adepticon for us, right?
Yep. So Adepticon is coming up next a little bit towards the end of March, and I am hype. It's probably one of my favorite ones of the year.
Hype! What can players expect from the Privateer Press booth and from Privateer Press at Adepticon?
First and foremost, we decided that Adepticon being such a hobby-focused convention, that is where we are going to do the premier hosting of our Formula P3 Grandmaster event. Mm-hmm. So all the folks that continue to just do amazing paint jobs on their minis, whether it be the busts, the models, the units, the monsters, buildings, like, there's so much cool stuff, and we wanted to take advantage of Adepticon kind of being the primary hub for that, to just really let people come in, showcase their stuff, get some really awesome critique from our judges, one of the primary of which will be Eric Swinson this year, who's been doing a lot of painting for us. And if you've ever seen his stuff in person or even just the images on the internet, you know that it's bonkers good.
Amazing.
And so getting some feedback from folks like him and others that we'll have at the show will be it completely worth turning in whatever the best is you've got, right? Because it's not necessarily about competing with the other people entering. It's about competing against your best and learning and growing and getting better. And there's almost no better way to do that than getting some excellent feedback from people who are at the top of their game.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not the greatest painter in the world. I tend to be like a pretty intermediate painter. I've been painting, gosh, since I was a little kid painting minis, but I still always like to enter the painting competitions knowing I was not going to win. Like, I would see painters and I'm like, yep, that guy's clearly going to win. But if that's the only model in the competition, like, you know, that's not fun for anybody. But I love to see where I fell in the ranking. I'd like to see them all lined up and say, okay, so like this is a little bit better than mine because of these things. But I got a little bit more edge on this guy over here because I did some washes. And so like I can see the progression, and then the next time if I go back and I do it again and I'm a couple ranks up, I'm like, oh yeah, see that technique, it did pay off, it got me those couple ranks ups. It may not matter for anybody else, but for me, I always like doing that part of the painting competition.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, that's really the primary thing that should be driving you is how are you doing compared to how you did last time.
Absolutely. Right?
And just the, like I said, the growth, right? Being able to see that progression, like you were talking about, in what you did last time versus what you brought this time.
It brings painters together too. Like, one thing I to do too is ask those guys, you know, hey, what would you do on this model? Like, now that it's out here, what would you have done differently? Oh, well, if I had used this kind of brush on this, I would have, you know, oh, these guys make a great paint, try this pigment. Those kind of things have been invaluable to my hobby painting. And so seeing other painters means also meeting other painters.
Absolutely. And that's probably where I spend most of my time at the show, is over in the painting area. It's usually kind of like, depending on where they put it every year, it's generally kind of in the long hallway that goes from the convention center to the hotel proper. And there's this big kind of space where there's a bunch of tables set up with lights and all that stuff, and just the conversations there, and just soaking in the art and the artistry and the theory and all that stuff that's going on is just, it's good.
It's so cool. You know, and one of the things that I found really interesting about LVO is a lot of people that came to the PP booth, they came and bought paints. I was like, and I get they got new models and now they want to paint
them
up.
And the busts. Like, I brought like, you know, like our Totem Huntress and, you know, various busts from the collection, and those were like gone almost immediately. I'm like, yeah, get it.
What are some of the other things people can expect from the PP booth? Like, what are some things, gems that we don't necessarily find in our game store shelves?
So as far as the booth itself, aside from the Grandmaster tournament, we'll have, you know, new releases and stuff like that, and we'll have a new exclusive for the show, which should be pretty awesome. So look for, you know, the official announcement there very soon. Outside of that, everything will pretty much be going on in the event area. You're going to have all the different things that Travis has set up to entertain and delight everyone throughout the show. So you've got our version of Armies on Parade, which is Display It Painted, will be going on, where, you know, you have like your board set up with your, you know, with, you know, your full themed out army. And if you've ever seen any of the pictures of those from Adepticon, they're really cool. I think it was Agatha won last year for her Monster Apocalypse display board, which was amazing. There's so many different ways that you can attack that particular thing with the different brands that we've got, that it makes you want to go home and paint. that's what this show does, is you get there, you're hanging out, you're seeing all the cool things everyone's doing, and then you're like, okay, when I go home, I am painting three new armies. It doesn't always pan out, but you have the inspiration and the motivation.
Absolutely.
Outside of that, you know, you've got your typical tournaments, demos, you'll get, you know, all kinds of opportunities to play Warcaster, War Machine and Hordes, Monster Apocalypse, lots of Riot Quest. And I've noticed a lot of people are finally starting to get into the game itself of Riot Quest over the last couple of shows. More and more people have pointed out that they've been collecting the models either for use in War Machine and Hordes or just to have them. And they've started to get some of their first games in now that, you know, different parts of the pandemic are winding down, and getting a chance to play that with their friends. People love this game. It is so much fun. It's probably my favorite. It's quick. It's fun. It's just obscenely random, and just everyone's constantly like cheering, yelling, and it's almost as fun to watch as it is to play.
Absolutely. I got to do some Riot Quest demos at LVO, which I was there to do Monpok demos, and Monpok, it's my baby. It's my game. I love it. I can't get enough of Monpok. It's super chess. But playing Riot Quest with complete strangers is an absolute blast. Like, it's one thing to sit down and play like a me versus you game, where Riot Quest just takes all that and makes it so fun and goofy. And I came back with a definitely renewed, like, hey, I got to get the family playing this. Let's get the like board out again. And so Riot Quest is, it's a special game. There really aren't a lot of games like it.
And that's kind of my other favorite part, and part of what recharges the batteries at shows like this is when you go and you're having those discussions with people. Everybody's favorite is different.
Yeah.
And for entirely valid reasons, right? You know, like you mentioned, Monpok is your baby, and like just, you know, Kaijus. Giant monsters beating the absolute heck out of each other and smashing buildings and everything's exploding and units are responding and it seems really fast and frenetic. But as you mentioned, it's almost kind of like super chess, right? Because you're paying attention to your XY positions on the grids, looking for openings to do, you know, super damage and things like that. There's a little bit of extra thinking to it, but within the confines of everything's exploding and going to hell. And it's great.
Yeah, there was a lot of cheering coming from the Monpok tables when we were doing demos. When you sit down and you think, okay, this, you know, it's on a grid, you got all these little units running around, the monsters do things, the buildings do things, and there's so much to kind of take in at first with any game, right, that you play that's beyond, like, Parcheesi. But then the first time somebody slams or throws a monster into another building, everybody just stands up. I don't know, it's like a innate reaction. Oh my gosh, did that just happen? Whoa!
Well, because it's cool every time.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like, people cheering for dice rolls, too. It's a game where you can kind of figure out the dice math pretty quickly, and you can see, you know, if somebody's made a hit or not by most rolls. And as soon as those dice hit the table, people are like, what? Double body slam! It's an easy game to watch.
Oh, absolutely. And you get that feedback of, you know, the monster gets picked up, thrown into this building, the building gets taken away, now there's fire, it takes extra damage. Like, it just, it's super great. Or when, you know, you get the monster down to the point where it flips from its alpha to its hyper form and the card gets flipped and, like, everyone's like, oh, what does he do now? What's this cool thing, right? You know, because they always get, you know, some little extra juice when they flip. And so everyone just gets hype all over again as they're like, oh, he's on the ropes, but is he gonna pull it off? Oh my god, he did.
I think that's one of the things I really like about Monpok that also correlates to my love for War Machine, right, is that you get to play with some really powerful pieces and you get to really feel like, oh man, I've got this awesome, amazing monster, or I've got this amazing warcaster or warlock that does all of these really cool things. And that's one of the things that's always driven me to want to play the Privateer games, is it's so hero-centric, it's so champion-centric with a lot of the games, that you really get to connect to these characters and see how they play on the table and feel like, oh man, like, this is my champion, this is my guy. And so Monpok has that, War Machine has that, Riot Quest has that, Warcaster has that. It's actually, in Warcaster, absolutely, you are the guy.
Right. And but at the same time, it's still fulfills that same thing of like, I just did a really cool thing, right? Like when you use one of your ciphers in Warcaster to be able to, you know, like get a second activation out of a guy, or, you know, like reroll a hit or whatever, you know, cool thing it is you get to do with it that totally makes the turn special, right? And you go like, I did that, I did this cool thing, that's gonna stick in my memory for a while. He totally beat the crap out of me afterwards, but I did this really great thing where I just completely destroyed that jag of his, and it was great.
Absolutely. Warcaster still has it too, like the heroes themselves. It's interesting, so in War Machine, solos are cool, and but like Warcasters kind of outshine them because they're super solos. But in Warcaster, because you are the super solo, all of your heroes have so much more flavor and really stand out on the battlefield. And so instead of just having like my one cool hero, everything kind of has that feel, and I really dig that about Warcaster. Absolutely.
And you know, with the recursion of the fact that you get to redeploy units as you pop out your void gates and change the dynamic of the battlefield, like it really sells the whole alternating activation skirmish concept.
Absolutely.
It just really keeps everything moving and keeps you engaged in exactly what you're going to have to do next.
You know, you bring up a really good point. So Warcaster has this, and War Machine, it doesn't necessarily play the same way, right? Because there's that attrition value of Warcaster. You're putting your models back on the table, and so you get to constantly keep your cool painted model out there. Like, you're like, oh, you took it away? Guess who's coming back? And I like that about Monpok, too. Like, for the most part, the table, other than the buildings, stays relatively intact, where you get to keep redeploying your units. Your monsters stay there most of the whole game. And so you get to really play with your painted models. And as a hobbyist, as we've been talking about, that's one of the coolest things about the game, is to go and paint something amazing and then put it on the table and keep it on the table and know it's like, oh, even if you kill it, we're still cool. It's still cool.
And that perfectly illustrates why everyone has a different favorite game.
Oh, absolutely. Just
because those flavors are there. There's enough to hold you there to know, like, oh, you're playing one of our games. But the differences are just great enough that you're like, oh, this is my jam, or oh, this is my jam, or this is my jam when I have this much time. But this is totally my jam when I only have this much time.
Can they all be my jam? Is that
absolutely?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
Why not?
Speaking of jam, so your jam is conventions, and what conventions do we have on the horizon?
After Adepticon, pretty much we're looking forward to Gen Con is going to be the next big one. That one is another one that we've had to miss for the last couple years, and I miss it dearly. It's a lot of effort to plan that one. There's a lot of moving parts for that one. There's, you know, the booth is the biggest we have at any particular show. There's tons of events going on in the events hall, and so Travis definitely has his work cut out for him as well, and just coordinating all those things together so that people have a good experience and are able to interact with us in the way that they wish is a much bigger undertaking than most of the other shows. So really looking forward to that one. Already got a bunch of stuff moving through the pipe for it. Not really anything that I can talk about just yet because it's a ways out and stuff changes. But it's going to just I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a blast. After that one, we will unfortunately not be doing Lock and Load again this year. Just the timing plus the logistics and stuff, the costs associated and whatnot, when we didn't know exactly which way things were going to go. We would have had to start doing ticket sales and stuff, you know, a couple months ago, and we didn't know where we were going to land on that. So we've held it off for now, but we will, of course, be at Warfare Weekend again later this year in November. And just always look forward to that one. It's in St. Louis, so it's a little bit more centrally located. A lot more people can show up to that one. Gonzo runs a really great show. That was kind of our first convention we got to do post-COVID just this last November. And even though it was just a little lighter in attendance, people seemed to be having a great time. And I just love that show for that, is because the people are there to play games. They're there to get games in, hang out with their friends, do cool stuff, and just recharge their batteries too, right? Like, that's why I like playing this game or that game, is getting to hang out with new friends and old and just play.
Yeah, hanging out with people is the best. Hobby games bring you together in person. It's why I always prefer, I mean, nothing against video games. Video games are cool, but being able to hang out with everybody around the table, it's the feel goods.
It absolutely is. And the other thing to look forward to this year at Warfare Weekend is we will be running the Iron Gauntlet at the event.
Ooh, spicy.
So, granted, no Lock and Load, but you will still absolutely be able to get your Iron Gauntlet on for fantastic fame and prizes. And just, you know, look forward to, because we've been doing the, you know, the qualifiers for the last couple of years there. And so the setup is just perfect for minor tweaks to become the, at least the temporary new home of the Iron Gauntlet, because we don't want people to miss out on that for another year. We want them to get that level of competition in, get to have that chance to bring the thunder and see what they're made of.
That's awesome. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, John. I also had Charles and Matt on earlier in the episode. It's been really great to bring everybody together again. Do you want to say bye to everybody there?
Bye, everybody. I look forward to hanging out with you guys soon.
Well, that wraps us up for our very first Primecast. I'm your host, Emmanuel Klass. Tune in next month for our exciting interviews and hangouts. In our next episode, we bring on our very first community guest. Stay tuned in to Privateer Press media channels for what's next. Thank you for listening to Primecast, the official Privateer Press podcast. Wait, does that make this a P3 product? Charles? John? Anybody? Can someone get Matt Wilson on the line?
I've always wanted to say this. Play the drums.